This week on the Analog Assault Podcast, episode 110, in 7 days, right around the corner, Outriders and The Mandalorian, more. More! Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Analog Assault Podcast. And we got our hosts here with this, Lupo to the rescue, Thaddeus Prime, Scarecrow, and Radical. What up, guys?
What's going on?
What's happening?
So before we ask the age-old question that we always ask, what
are we owing?
The ode. It's an ode to the Analog Assault Podcast crew. little housekeeping. If you like the content here, then make sure you hit that sub button right here on Twitch to help keep the lights on for MHG. And if you'd like, you can watch our podcast live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at twitch.tv/MuleHornGaming. And if you want to be a part of this awesome community, just put !Discord in the chat there. You can jump in the Discord and get to know some of us cool cats in there. And if you want more awesome Star Wars content, just search for us on TikTok, MuleHornGaming. So, guys, what you been playing, what you been watching, what you been doing?
A little bit of Rage 2.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Nice.
I finished up, what was I playing? Oh, Metro Exodus. I finished up those DLCs. Absolutely loved that game.
Nice.
And I read somewhere that Rage 2 was kind of similar to Cyberpunk in a way. And as far as the RPG style, I was like, oh, okay. And it's on Game Pass now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm playing it. And it's intense. It's crazy. Blowing things up, smashing things up. It's chaos. Yeah. Little Doom action, like as far as intensity and kills and fast pace. But that and just finished watching Away on Netflix, finally. That was a phenomenal series. Can't wait for season 2.
You know they canceled it, right?
No!
Fail!
As the Cerberus representative of the party, wow. I bring bad news.
True Cerberus you are.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to watch now. Now there's a new
shot down. Oh my gosh!
Wow.
I'd rather break his heart before he
waits for months and
waits. Yeah. I know it.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk all over again.
What a friend!
Wow.
Right. Someone else can talk now. I'm out of words.
Sorry.
Oh, let's see. What have I been playing? I've been narrowing it down because of lack of content. Well, getting ready for other content. So mainly I've just been playing a bit of Genshin Impact, still grinding that up. I hit the dreaded AR-40 this last week, and boy is that rough. So for those of you who don't know, AR is your character's adventure rank. And when you hit certain levels, the difficulty of the world tier goes up. And I keep seeing everyone on Twitter be like, oh, AR-40 is the worst because then you go into tier 5. And it's tough. I'm not getting hurt nearly as bad as I expected. But boy, those bosses and just regular enemies are spongy. So enjoying that. But been watching. Finished up a couple anime series this week. I finished up Diamond is Unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
And I started Golden Wind.
Nice.
Just started Golden Wind. And of course, Mandalorian.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh boy. I really wanted a Jaws reference during that episode. Like, we're going to need a bigger gun or something. There's so many opportunities where they could have popped something in there. Just like, we're going to need a bigger speeder or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the little, I don't know if we're going to, we'll probably talk some spoilers we'll talk later about on.
It for sure. Yeah.
But we'll let you guys know when we're going to talk spoilers, but like, I'm really excited about like characters that are showing up and just the path it's taking. Like, there's a race in there that has gotten more screen time that episode than the entire series put together, probably.
Yeah.
Which I'm really enjoying. Other than that, I played a little bit of Destiny, getting ready, getting some bounties saved up for next week.
You got some snipes on the other day.
I did. I've been running snipers in Crucible, and I'm not good at it, but I'm having fun with it.
And that's what counts.
And I'm the pleb using Revoker right now.
I'm always the pleb. Shots. So it's fine.
Yeah. Right on. But
sweet.
Just Destiny working snipes. My butt off and playing when I can.
Yep.
I know that life.
I don't have those late nights anymore.
It's a whole new crow, man. I don't know who you are anymore.
It's my schedule has literally shifted. Like, I feel like 12 hours.
It's a diet can of crow.
I was going to bed at 3 a.m. Now I'm getting up at 4 a.m. So it's like
just a seltzer
completely
now.
Complete flip.
Complete flip. Sure.
Right on.
So I'll jump in next, I guess. So I'll talk about what I'm watching first. I'm not watching as much as I've been playing, surprisingly enough. It's weird. So I am watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the Diamond is Unbreakable arc. So I finished up what's the other one called? Stardust Crusaders, what, 2 weeks ago or so. So I was like, you know what, I want to watch the next one, the same thing. And it's interesting. Like, for a show I was like not interested in even watching, like, I'm really like compelled to watch it every day. Like, you know, I come home and try to watch at least one episode just to keep that progression going, and I'm like really enjoying it. Like, the originality of just like how the world works is just so intense and so crazy, and I've just been like really enjoying getting into it. But that's like the one thing that I've been watching. And obviously, like, I didn't want to watch Mandalorian. I wanted to actually binge the entire series at once. But then Crow was like, did you watch it? And I was like, no, I told you I wasn't going to watch it. And then he said, you got to watch it. And I was like, all right. And I started seeing things on Twitter and everything like that. And I was like, all right, I guess I have to watch it. And I was like, I text Crow immediately, like, the biggest holy shit like I've ever written in my life. Like,
that I was got crazy. Mandalorian in all caps as a text.
Yeah, so this is Mando with like 100 O's. Like,
Mando!
Yeah. it was that good. And like, I saw other people say it like this, and I don't want to say this the bad way, because I enjoyed every single Star Wars movie in some way, shape, or form. Like, I didn't hate any of them. This, like, the direction that they're taking now in Mandalorian is just greater storytelling than a lot of what Star Wars has done over the last 20 years. And it's just, it's a breath of fresh air. And like, we talked about this when we first started discussing Mando, even before I was a host here, is that like, it's nice to see how the other half live, you know. Like, Star Wars has always been about the Jedis and stuff like that. And then you got Rebels, which was kind of like the Jedis, but it's really more like the rebellion, you know. You're really seeing like the rebellion after the fact, you know.
It's always been about the Skywalkers and how they've screwed up the galaxy,
pretty much, you know. And like, it's really, really cool to see like the aftermath of the war and see where, you know, where this is going. And, you know, the Mandalorian just he's a great character, and I think like they're really bringing the right actors. I think that's a key thing with the Mandalorian right now, is that they're bringing in the right actors to play the right people. So really appreciate that.
Next level Star Wars.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then playing, like, I've been playing different games. So I've met some friends on Facebook, other people that stream on Facebook, and they've gotten me into some horror games, which has been interesting to say the very least.
Yes.
So I wanted to mention it 2 weeks ago on the cast, but I completely forgot that like I was going to play Phasmophobia for the first time. and I got trolled like you wouldn't believe. It was my first time playing. They had all played. I had one person literally throwing like objects at me in the house. I'm like, oh, we got a poltergeist here, you know. And like the next, I didn't even realize till the next day till they posted it on social media. Like, yeah, I trolled the shit out of everybody. I was like, mother. Like
I saw so that mad. Clip from her stream, and I was like, oh.
I was so mad because I was like, I was into it because I love like Supernatural. I love you know, ghost stories and ghost hunting. It's stuff that I always intrigued me as like a young adult. Ghostbusters is my favorite movie. Actually, I watched that this week too. I watched that on the new one. But besides the point, so played a bunch of Phasmophobia with these folks from Facebook Gaming, and like they've it's like building that grassroots community again. You know, it makes me feel like Mixer all over again. I really like and I've been enjoying like the people extending their what's that word? Hospitality to me, you know, it's been awesome. So they played that, and then the people from the group bought me In Silence, which is another really interesting horror game. And both these games react to sound. So you have to have a microphone hooked up to the game, and it reacts to your sound. So if you are talking too loud in the group, the monster or whatever hears you. So Phasmophobia is a ghost hunting sim, more or less. Where it's like 4V environment, and In Silence is a asymmetric, like, you know, 4V1, like similar to how Dead by Daylight or Friday the 13th is, but it's based loosely based off of, I'm gonna forget the name of the movie, the one where you can't, Quiet Place. Thank you, Crow.
Nice.
So it's very loosely based around that, but like you're the monster can't see either, so like you can only see when people start making sounds, and then your vision gets wider. It's really crazy how the game works, and it's jump scary as all hell.
Any Love team it. I would Love be it. On would be absolutely doomed, because I'm a loud talker, so it's fine.
I jumped a lot.
Reminds me of
a couple times, and I was half paying attention.
Yeah. Alien Isolation is kind of sound sensitive as well. I always turn it off though.
But the only me game I've played is Genshin Impact, waiting for new Destiny content.
Right on.
Yeah. Nice.
Cerberus.
I'll go. I'll represent Cerberus happily. I would die for Cerberus, let's be honest. So I, well, first and foremost, I have not yet watched Mandalorian. It's for Get a out. Very... well, you know, there's just been things happening here in the home, and you know, we just waited. We wanted to be in the right headspace to watch it, so we haven't watched it yet. But I'm going to sit here and get spoiled for you guys, so that's fine. Who's to say I haven't been spoiled already? I haven't. I think last time I mentioned we started rewatching Futurama, so we've been moving through that, which is great and super fun. Leela, spoiler alert, Leela, you know. Did the thing with Zap, and I gotta tell you, Zap and Leela are my favorite couple on that whole show. It's so stupid. And like Fry and Leela, of course, like great. Oh my god, Zap and Leela is some of the funniest content.
Worst ship ever, though.
Oh my god, it's so great. No, it's the greatest ship ever. They're so problematic. It's phenomenal. And then I've not. Well, I guess I've been watching, but I've started watching and listening to the second campaign of Critical Role. It's really super great and fun. My friend Tristan has been trying to get me to listen to it forever and ever and ever, and then he finally, like, in actually no Tristan in real life, but I used to work with him, but he like sat me down the best he could in Discord, and he was like, listen to me, you need to watch Critical Role now. And so I did. So I started.
And I'm sure he did that exact same thing to his camera with it off.
Yes, it was off, but I felt it, you know.
Yep.
But I started listening to it, and it's super great. So if you guys are D&D people, or even if you like just stories and you know, voice actors who you may be familiar with, Ashley Johnson, who is Ellie in Last of Us, and Laura Bailey, who's everybody is in that. Matt Mercer is the DM. Like, there's a lot of big names in it. It's really, really well done. Really, really fun.
Where can you listen to that?
Oh, well, Crow, thank you for asking. You can listen to that on, I listen to it on Spotify, and then all of it is on YouTube. So you can just search Critical Role. Now, I will tell you, there's like 120 episodes, and they're like 4 hours long. So like, it is a investment, but it is so worth it. I mean, it is really, really fun and great. And I've been loving it. But there's two campaigns. I started with campaign two. The overall feedback is that campaign two is a little bit better. It's just kind of like easier to jump into and appreciate. So it's super fun. Cool. And then as for playing, I've been playing Destiny, really. Today, I jumped into Mass Effect 2 and ran around Omega.
Getting the feels.
And spoke with Arya. And she was great. As she is. And did I play anything else? I don't think I did. I think I played mostly Destiny. The new Apex season came out, which I'm kind of interested in, but I'm real bad at Apex. So I haven't hopped into it yet, but there may be someone out there who can carry me in their backpack. And
I'm sure we might know someone.
Yeah. It's funny.
Another person not on the cast.
Get out of here.
Okay. So yeah, so that's what I've been doing. And now I would really like to talk about whatever we're going to talk about next after Mule goes.
Oh yeah.
We got to let Mule talk. Mule always skips out his part. So go, please.
So, I mean, The Mandalorian, obviously. I'm watching that.
How many times did you watch it?
Yeah. Is this your 18th watch of the
On the day of release, it was four times. So probably around six.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I pulled a semi-mule and watched it twice.
I watched it twice, and then I actually watched it today just so I had a little bit of refresher.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's just so much to it, man. It's just, I had to bust out the Star Wars hat, and you know, with Halloween, I'll show you guys on stream. Obviously, if you're listening to audio, you can't see this, but I got the 40th anniversary Boba Fett prototype helmet right here. I was wearing it around everywhere, and I actually wore it the other day when I walked the dog with my wife, and she was like, "I think that's the first time I've been embarrassed by your nerddom."
Yep. Wow! She finally
found her level.
Yeah,
that's funny.
But I mean, other than that, she's actually been watching Rebels with me because she's watched bits and pieces with our boys who watch it and myself. Mm-hmm. You know, but mom, she's always busy and going. But she's actually sitting down and because she loves Ahsoka, and she watched season 7 of Clone Wars with me. So she's watching Rebels. She's like, "You gotta watch Rebels because it's gonna be in the Mandalorian, all this stuff." So other
bitches
than that,
love Ahsoka.
Yeah, she loves Ahsoka. She really likes Ahsoka, and she's really liking Rebels. She really likes it. But like other than that, like game wise, it's pretty much just game hopping. I've been playing Destiny. I've been playing, of course, Star Wars Battlefront.
I've seen you on Destiny multiple times.
I know. It
seemed like what meals on I'm, Destiny?
I gotta get the feel back, man. I gotta get
you gotta
the feel
get
back.
Into it. Lots of stuff's coming back. Up.
A little bit of Apex, a little bit of COD with Warzone. But there's nothing really I've been sinking my teeth into, man. I'm missing all these games that were supposed to come out. And, you know.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. So, guys, let's start out with N7 Day. It's almost here!
Almost here.
N7 Day is a big thing for Mass Effect. I think everyone here on the cast is huge Mass Effect fans.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping we see? Which it'll be Saturday, right? Saturday's N7 Day.
Saturday.
So what are you hoping to see?
Honestly, I want to say first, I think we're going to see things tomorrow.
Why?
Like a day early?
Because it's Friday.
Okay, fair.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think the big thing that we're going to see will be Saturday at that panel.
You might see like a...
Well, the panel's not like technically official. It's not BioWare sanctioned.
It's like just the cast getting back together.
It's a fan thing.
So you think that they're gonna do the announcement tomorrow?
That's my honest opinion because it's a Friday. Or if not, they might wait until Monday. Also.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know.
Robbie in chat says the 7th is tomorrow for her, so she gets it 2 days.
Future Robbie.
Yeah, there you go, Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to get a remaster announcement this year with all the leaks and stuff that have been coming out from, what was it, like the Korean stores, online stores? I think it was Korean. I think we're going to get the announcement. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but like, I think we're going to get it.
I can just see it now. Mass Effect remastered coming 2022.
I mean, if they're smart, they'll release it in a week because the new consoles are coming out and I think they have it ready to go. So if they're smart, they'll have it ready for launch.
That would be a big brain move.
That would be the biggest brain moves. They'd at least be a few more IQ points higher than PlayStation would be at this point. I'm sorry, that just came out of my mouth. But, you know, I think that the Mass Effect fandom, I wrote about this last year for the website, but like the Mass Effect fandom needs some love somewhere. I mean, the past 2 and 7 days have just been like, here's some Mass Effect stuff that you've seen 7,000 million times. Enjoy it again. And it's like, okay.
Thank you, but we never get the answer.
That's right. Nate Johnson chat wrote remaster with day one on EA Play Game Pass. Yeah, that would be dope. That would be pretty cool. I don't know.
It's not going to be on EA Play.
I don't think it'll be on EA Play.
But it will not be on EA Play.
It could be on Game Pass because at least
it will not be on Game Pass.
I don't think so.
Not at release.
No.
No way.
They need to make every dollar back on that.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Maybe eventually. But Mass Effect 1 is on Game Pass.
Yes, 2007 Mass Effect 1, not 2020 Mass Effect Remaster.
The painful one.
Whatever. You guys, people.
I'm a realist. Like, I can't.
All I was gonna say was Mass Effect fans who tell people who want to experience Mass Effect not to play Mass Effect 1 because it's clunky. That's stupid. Play Mass Effect 1. You are missing out on one of the greatest storytelling games of all time.
Stories skip awesome. Out of Mass
Effect. I would say more than 50% of people that try to play Mass Effect 1 right now will stop playing it.
Well, they're dumb.
If they've never played it.
I enjoyed the YouTube recap. It was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not going to play through it.
Yeah. I know.
But it's a rough play right now. It is really a rough play right now. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It is a rough play right now, even on PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but you're go into it knowing you're playing a 2007 game and you're like, oh, okay, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I felt when I played Uncharted, you know, when I actually played through it. I was like, oh, this feels rough. But after a while, I got over that, and the game, the story was great, you know.
True. Good point.
So I want to ask then, so we know there's a lot of speculation for a remaster, and of course, I think everyone here on the podcast would love that and probably be a day one buy. Hopefully, they'll name it something clever like the Ultimate Collector's Edition or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think they will.
But would you rather have a remaster or a remake? Because, okay, here's my stance. Remasters be awesome, but I think if they brought 1 and 2's mechanics up to what 3 was, or even Andromeda, that would be,
take my money. Andromeda. Andromeda had some of the greatest mechanics in a Mass Effect game, probably the best. Like, I really enjoyed the mechanics of Andromeda, and Andromeda had a lot of issues. But I don't know. I think that, like, a remake of 1 is fine. I think you could leave 2 well enough alone. 2 and 3 weren't that
different. It wasn't too bad.
My friend Lexi, that's Zarya's wife in chat, she said that Mass Effect 1 is the best one. I'm going to strongly disagree with her. Mass Effect 2 is the best one. The storytelling in Mass Effect 1 is great, but like Mass Effect 2 is just all around like the best game. The mechanic change there was great. Like, so even if they brought Mass Effect 1 like up to just give us thermal clips. We'd be happy with just thermal clips in Mass Effect 1 and we'll be fine. Like, but you know, anyway, to answer your question, I think like a remake of 1 would be great, but here's why I think a remaster would be awesome. I would love a remaster so that I can get all of the DLC in the remaster, which is what studios like to do. Like Skyrim came out with all of its DLC, and then you could just I bought it for $60 and I got the DLC, the whole game and the whole shebang. So when I hear about this remaster, maybe tomorrow or Saturday or Monday, whichever day it is, I expect to hear I'm getting all the DLC with my purchase. Because at this point, it's a 7-year-old game. Like, the Mass Effect 3 is a 7-year-old game. I want all my DLC with my full. I will give you $60, BioWare. You know I will. Again. Give me my DLC with it. So that's why I want a remaster, so I can get the
I mean, it's DLC. Not a Nintendo IP, so you're more likely to not have to pay for all that extra.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah. But, like, you know, shame, like, there's... Man. There's
I'm just taking a joke. I am, like, I'm the farthest thing from a Mass Effect fan, as in this group. Like, I'm definitely at the bottom of the totem pole.
That's okay.
So I've just got to make jokes tonight. Mm. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about today, like, everyone's talking about N7 Day, but everyone's forgetting what today is. Today's freaking V for Vendetta Day.
That is true.
And no one else thinks about it. And, like, I'm sitting here like, I really want to watch it. But, yeah. I'd prefer a remake, because remaster is just like saying what they did with, say, Halo Combat Evolved. They just reskinned it, made a graphics update, but they didn't change anything mechanic wise.
Mm.
It's a, see what it came out in 2007.
Yeah.
So it's a 13-year-old game.
Yeah.
It's a 13-year-old game. And my opinion plays worse than Halo 3, which came out the same year.
It does.
But, so it could definitely use a little bit of work, and it doesn't need much, in my opinion. That's one of the few Mass Effects that I played. I played most of 1, and then I played almost all of Andromeda. I enjoyed it for what story I got out of it, but I played it like 5 or 6 years after it came out, Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
I got it. I played it whenever it came with games with gold back. Mm-hmm. This could even been back on 360 for all I remember. It was a long time ago. I know that all 3 of them were out by then, but Andromeda was not even in the books yet. So are we thinking like they're just going to do 1, or are we it's a trilogy?
It's going to be a trilogy.
Because what year did 3 come out?
I said the wrong date before. It was 2012. I said 13 before. It was 12. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still 8 years. If it was to be a trilogy, I can see them more likely bringing back a remaster than a remake. But if it was just 1, definitely a remake.
I just think that, I mean, they're going to put in a cute little bundle. They're going to say, here you guys go. Here you go. Here's all the stuff that you want.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm going to say, here you go. Here's my money.
I'm more on the remake camp, because I want to play Mass Effect 1 with what Mule suggested, the, you know, 2 or the 3 mechanics. Mm-hmm. I want to play with that.
So does that remaster? Break the lore? Does that break the immersiveness for you?
It only breaks one piece of lore, which is when you wake up, spoilers, in Mass Effect 2, and they're like, we have thermal clips now, and then that's it.
Yeah. So if they took that out of the game, then it's...
Or just leave it in the game and no one would ask any questions. But I mean, I could see them doing it either way, because they've had a heck of a lot of time to work on a remaster / remake. I just think it's going to be a remaster, though. I really do.
Yeah. Probably right. I want more, but
Are there any notable games? I certainly don't know, that's why I'm asking the question, that have had remakes?
For BioWare?
No, just for any game.
I mean, Final Fantasy VII was just completely remade.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I knew there was like one, but I couldn't like think of what it was, because most things are remastered. I mean, Skyrim didn't need to be remastered, but they did it anyway, you know, so.
Yeah. Like Nate said, Resident Evil 2 had a big remake. That's true as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like from what I understand, like the last leak, and I, you know, you can only trust them so much because it's literally only one person.
It happens every year.
Propagating the leaks. For a while, Jeff Grubb was announcing things like every 3 or 4 weeks. Now he's kind of gone dark. But the last thing I heard is that they delayed it, even though they never announced it. So you can't delay something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
They're postponing it or delaying it to bring one in line with two and three.
Right.
And I think that's the way you got to go about it. And you know what? If they would have remastered everything and put it out, I think people would have enjoyed it. But if you give one the love and attention that it needs in 2020, it really sets it apart from every other remake or trilogy, whatever, ever.
That's true. In my opinion. Do you think that they're going to remake it and then have it release like next year?
I think it's going to be, I think, nah, it's 2021. Definitely 2021.
Yeah, sure.
But I think like,
if it's a remake, if it's a remaster, I think it launches soon.
If it's a remaster, yeah, it could be in 2020. But if it's a remake, if they're going to do even the remake of one, it's going to be 2021 at this point.
Sure. Yeah. Just curious what your thoughts were. But for me, I think the bigger question is, okay, great, we're going to get a remaster, remake, one of the two, most probably. What does the Mass Effect fan base think is going to happen with anything related to Andromeda or a new title? Do we think
personally?
What'd you say?
I think Andromeda's done. I think Andromeda's done.
It's probably done, but I would love to see a Solarian DLC. I mean, we've been asking for that since release.
Quarian.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Here's the problem. The Quarians were already put to an end in a book.
Yeah.
But you will never get a Quarian DLC because it's already written about.
I know,
and that it's canon. Well,
the problem is that
Mac Walters had his hand in every single dealings of Mass Effect Andromeda, and he had canon on everything.
There's just so many things that you could do with Andromeda, and I was one of the few that actually didn't think it was half that bad. Like, especially the opening act where you have the father sacrifice himself for the son. It gets you mostly emotionally invested in the game. I mean, I know why they stopped supporting it, a lot like they did with Star Wars Battlefront 2, is that, you know, it just, it's the Twitter mob, man. Everyone got up on it. Everyone just shot it down. So, of course, you know, as a developer, they've been working on it for years. You feel defeated. So you're like, okay, does this get it working and then move on? So I don't know.
In fairness, like, I don't think there was ever a plan to make DLC for the game.
Really? Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
No, because it wasn't made. It wasn't made by Edmonton. Like, they wanted, they just wanted some sort of installment to kind of have a stopgap from the trilogy to the next set of Mass Effect games.
Why even make the game if you don't plan on expanding on it?
I don't know why they made the game at that point. I think they had some good tech and they wanted to test some things for Anthem, and that's another theory that I have as well. Because if you play the game, it looks
a lot like
Anthem.
Don't get me started on my hate for Anthem and how it took away from Mass Effect. But and I know you guys love Anthem, but I look at Lupo. Ooh. my words worked. They had an effect. It's super effective. Cool. So I mostly just said that to piss Lupo off and it worked. Okay, but wasn't there dialogue at the end of Andromeda that was legitimately like,
it was open-ended.
It's open-ended. Yeah. They can add so much to it.
But that's why, that's why I question. I don't think they went into it without the idea of doing DLC. I legitimately think they were prepared to do it, and unfortunately, the game crashed and burned for them because the launch was terrible.
I think it was the other way around. I think they had zero intention of making a DLC, and then if it was received well, they would have made more, because that's every other Mass Effect was that way.
Yep.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that.
Yeah. No. Every Mass Effect was made as a complete package, and then they added onto it afterwards. Like the Citadel and all those DLCs from Mass Effect 3 were all in reception to how the game did initially.
Sure. Okay. That makes me sad because I like to believe that Lair of the Shadow Broker was always part of the canon, but okay. They created it afterwards. That's fine.
So, okay. I got to ask this. We can move this wrong a little bit. Twofold question. Would you love to see a First Contact War prequel in Mass Effect? And how do you think that would work? And I want y'all to give me your ranks with Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, and Andromeda. I want y'all to rank them for me, 1 to 4.
Hold on. I want to answer Nate's question first. From the Ashes, really, it was really more like, here's the character. We're going to introduce a character by means of DLC, and they gave it to everybody who had the game. So I honestly, I don't feel like it's technically a DLC because everybody got it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It was basically like, hey, we want to put this into the game, and we have to patch it in anyway. So here we go.
Robbie, that's great. I'll go. Yeah, I would play any Mass Effect game. I don't know if that is like one of my particularly like I'm that interested in a First Contact War kind of thing, but like, yeah, I would play it. Like, that would be great, of course. I think there's other parts of the story or like other parts of the timeline that I'd be more eager for. Looks at shirt. But you know, like it's but yeah, like it would be great. Like it would be fine. And then for my rankings is pretty easy. Oh God, is it? I don't know. All right, I'm gonna be controversial. My number one is not controversial. It's my favorite game ever. Mass Effect 2 is the best one. I think I'm actually gonna pick, surprising, Mass Effect for my number two, Mass Effect 3 in number three slot, and Andromeda for number four. I'm just so married to the story of Mass Effect and the original trilogy, and just so very, very briefly. Liara Tassoni is a very important character to me. I played Mass Effect when I was very lonely, and so like I didn't have anyone who I knew around, and so I would go to school. I was in grad school at the time, and I would come home and like play Mass Effect, and like the crew became my family in that time because I was so lonely. And Liara is just like, you know, whether you romance her or not, like she's just a very this pleasant, you know, like cute, like lovely character. And so she and I, as silly as it sounds, but we're all gamers, so we get it. Like, we really like bonded, you know. I got to meet Allie Hillis a couple years ago, and I told her that, and I was like sobbing, and she was sobbing back to me. It was great. that's why. Like, it, group hugs. Just, you know, group hugs for sure.
Awesome.
Also, I love Miranda, but that's a separate story. So
she's a good second. She's a good second.
Yeah.
Not for FemShep, but that's fine.
Yeah. On as far as the First Contact, I'm kind of with you on that one, Rad. It'd be another Mass Effect that I would play. I read about it on some of the prequel comics, so like it could play out pretty well. I just don't feel it would be a huge draw for
Elusive Man,
the collective Mass Effect group.
Hardcore
players, yes, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, bring it in." But those are like passerbys and below, like First Contact. What? I mean, cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Ranking. I never played the first one, so I'm going to have to exclude that. So it's going to be 2, 3, Andromeda. 2 was fantastic. 3, I replayed all the endings. Pretty good story once they, you know, did it again and again.
Yeah.
But the
again and again.
First rise and fall was awesome. And then Andromeda was like, I want more. There's no more. Kind of left me a little bit of heartburn, but I hear one was great, so I don't know.
One is great. If anything, go watch the narrative. Like, if you have a character who you like, watch the narrative, like with that romance in play, because then at least you'll get, like, you know, your I don't know who you romanced. I think
I didn't let Ashley live. I know that much.
Well, it's Ashley. sorry, Ashley Lexi. Henderson here. But yeah.
I did a lot of reading up prior to it, and everyone's like, don't let Ashley live. Don't let Ashley live. I'm like,
Ashley is a very complicated character, okay? Like, if you get to know Ashley, she's actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
So there you
go. Noted for second playthrough.
No. I want to know Lupo's rank. Okay.
Well, first, I'll talk about the First Contact War. I don't think it would be indicative of the Mass Effect experience that people would want, because the problem with the First Contact War is that there's little to no biotic tech. So
yeah, that's true.
Take biotics out of the game.
Nobody wants to play it.
And nobody wants to play it. Like, don't get me wrong. Tech grades are awesome. I love Incinerate. I love Overload. My two, like, bread and butter when it comes to Mass Effect. But if you, like, take out a Vanguard main's biotic charge, game over. They don't want to play anymore.
What if part of the game is you discovering biotics?
Meh.
I mean, yeah, sure, but like I don't think that's the canon though.
That would change the story.
Yeah.
That's just where I see it. I'd rather see if we see a new installment, it's after. It's either like I want to see Andromeda 2 or I want to see the post Shepherd. Shepard events, you know, like what's after Shepard. But ranking Mass Effect is the hardest task that I would ever have to do as a video game journalist. Because it really depends on where my head's at, honestly. Because if any day of the week, I would have to say it's Mass Effect 2 would be my number one without even question. The last time I played through Mass Effect 3, I almost bumped 2 out of the top spot. Ooh. And that was really hard. But if you play 3 on PC as compared to Xbox, it is a completely different experience. It's basically it's like playing Mass Effect 3 in double speed, and you're like, holy crap, this is a million times more fun than what it was. And I still have yet to go back and play Andromeda on PC, so that's something that I plan on doing.
It's amazing on PC. I would love to do that. Is there controller support?
It's amazing. Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. There's no controller support on one. I do know that. On Mass Effect 1, there's no controller support on PC.
There's not controller support on... I couldn't get... There's a mod for 2 and 3, right?
Oh, there's a mod.
Oh, you're right.
But we had this conversation. Andromeda.
Yeah, but on Andromeda, there's controller support on PC, right?
Yes, because they reduced how many abilities you can hotkey.
Yeah.
Okay, because so I'm having a tough time on PC.
You can only hotkey 3.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time on PC with mouse and keyboard. So,
get yourself a Razer Tartarus. Anyway, I would say 2, 3, 1 Andromeda, and.
That's fair.
Just by total experience, like there's things. One has the best story, in my opinion. Two, I hate for all the interrupts you deal with over the course of the story. That is maddening to deal with a game not at your own pace. There's 3 separate sections in the game where you have to stop everything that you're doing and building up a momentum or having a extremely intimate or intense moment with your squad mates, and you get cut to something else that you don't want to do. That's annoying, and I don't like it.
In 2, you mean, right?
In 2, yes.
Yeah. I agree with that.
3, the big thing I didn't like about 3, like, I didn't have a problem with it because I love the game so much and I played it. But for people that want to go back and play now, you're not going to get the best ending because playing multiplayer in 3 right now is impossible. So you're going to get a shitty ending just because other people aren't playing the game.
Bastards.
And that sucks.
I mean, I chose Synthesis anyway, but yes, I know what you're saying.
Jeez, Synthesis.
I've done Synthesis and like I've done Blue and Green.
There's only one true choice. Destroy.
Did you know you can do nothing and that's a choice also?
Yes. Yeah.
That's sad though, because then you get the sad Liara recording and I don't have time for that.
It's really tough for me to quantify my love for like and rank them. Like I can't do that.
I feel you. It's like trying to say
like who's your favorite kid. I have one kid. I try to figure out who's my favorite kid is. It's not easy.
Bro, so, Lupo, who did you romance? I'm just curious.
Over the course of the game, or multiple playthroughs, just about everybody.
Sure. Okay. Who was your first?
My first was Liara.
She always is.
Yeah.
Winner, Liara dinner.
So,
oh
like,
my gosh.
I've had Liara, Tali, Miranda.
I've had.
Well, it's like when you play the game so many times, like you have to do something different to like be. But I can't do Renegade. Like I have to do a Paragon. I have to do Paragon every single playthrough.
Yeah, same here.
The only thing that changed things for me was the romance options.
You know who's a good Paragon romance is Jack. Surprisingly, she'd make you think that you need to be a dick, but no, you can be super sweet. And she's like,
oh, it might have been a safe file with Jack in there.
Yeah, Jack is great. Anyway. Yeah.
Mule. Crow, did you want to add anything or no? You
don't. He's only played one and a half games.
I'm gonna say Reach 3 ODST.
I knew something was coming like that.
Crow, that was great. Everybody, open a can of Crow right now on his map. Yep, perfect.
But all joking aside, like what I played, I'll be honest. Like you guys are making these comments about like romancing. All of the one that I played, I didn't romance a single person.
Oh my god!
I was like, screw this. I don't want this conversation. I just want to fight.
That's why people play Mass Effect. To romance the babes and dudes.
No, I was just the guy. I'm like, no, I just want to fight.
Yeah.
Like, what is this dialogue? No, give me the fight.
So I'm going to cause a little turmoil here.
He's standing drama.
Because at
one.
The start of it, it made me almost cry because I thought Shepard was dead. I thought he was dead. The three is my second one because the multiplayer, oh my gosh. Like, I sunk more time in the multiplayer than the campaigns. I probably played the campaign like 5 or 6 times. But the multiplayer, I think I put alone in that like almost 1,000 hours of just multiplayer.
Wow.
Mule was like top, on point, almost top 100 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I was what was it, top 100 in the world on multiplayer for Mass Effect.
When I have some new respect for you, Mule.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come easy.
Yeah. I mean, I basically could solo platinum by myself.
Wow.
Here's a fun fact, too. While playing with Mule, I spent more money on DLC packs to try to catch up to Mule playing. And I got in the doghouse a few times. I was like, what am I doing? Just trying to catch up with a Mule. Sorry, babe.
Yeah.
So bad.
That's great.
So 2, 3, Andromeda, and then 1. So, yeah.
I get you. I feel that. Yeah. I wouldn't argue that.
Yeah. I mean, exactly, Nate. As Nate says in chat, you know, Morden with 3. That was
Man, Morden.
So I guess Morden. Could we do that? Like rank the companions, or at least like say best companion. There's too many ranks from top one.
Let's just save Mando for next week, and we'll just talk Mass Effect for the rest.
Are we almost out of time?
We could just talk this. I mean, but
because then no, we've got to talk Mando.
Mando.
Yeah.
We'll just do it next week.
So Outriders D2. Do we want to talk about that, or we want to go into Mando?
Look, N7 Day only comes once a year.
We can still talk about Outriders and Mando.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to mention about Destiny that for anyone who didn't hear, just so everyone knows, everyone, like a lot of our community members have been like, you're like, oh, are they going to do a live event or anything for the end of the season? We've kind of thought they were going to. We did get a little bit of confirmation today that it was supposed to be a secret, but it got leaked out apparently. So, and Underdog and I were actually talking about this after I got off work today. Looking at like the way the schedule is going to be for next week, there's a weird time slot on, I think, Monday, where their servers are going down and then coming back up for 2 hours and then going back down. And we're thinking that this event that's going to be happening might be happening during that time slot.
Did it say the servers are going all the way down, or just that they're doing background maintenance?
No, they're going to be down where we get kicked out.
And then they come back on?
Yeah, for 2 hours for some reason.
And yeah, then they're going to be down. 7 Eastern to 10 Eastern. It'll be up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice. Right on. Primetime, what's this stuff about Outriders? I didn't get a chance to watch today.
Well, me and Lupo, I'm sure Lupo watched a bunch of it too, but they did a highlight on their newest Outrider, Technomancer. And let me tell you, the support class looks freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty much building weapons and abilities out of things around you, from bazookas to Gatling guns to gadgets that freeze people, and you are actually a healer. I think the only legit healer.
Really?
And, yeah, the only class with like a healing ability, an actual like squad healing ability.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Self heal and squad heal, which is pretty awesome. Yeah,
from everything I'd seen so far, there was none of the other classes have healing abilities.
Right.
But their abilities, when you say kill an enemy or damage an enemy, would heal you.
Oh, right. So this is going to be the class Primal play, so we don't have to res him?
Yes, sir.
He'll don't still die. Me. He'll still figure it out.
He gets to summon weapons and then heal people from afar. So yeah, we're
cool. Yeah, yep. And they touched on two other things. One is the end game. It is the, what do we call it again? I just totally forgot the word. Expeditions. So this is like your dungeons, you could say. Multiple tiers, you can go into it. The higher tier you go, the more loot. And I think you have multiple tries you can do as well if you fail it.
Yeah, that, it'll be interesting to see like how they break that down, because it's like definitely going to be like a weekly lockout of like how many times you can try, like fail more or less.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. But it looked awesome. You know, the enemies are tougher, more of a challenge, and the loot's even better. And the last thing which really sets this aside from other games out there now and makes it a really fun RPG co-op is the customization as far as your armor and the weapon mods. The things you can do with that to make your build customizable outside of the skill tree itself looked phenomenal. You can take mods from one weapon, break it down, put it onto another weapon, and just make god rolls pretty much.
Yeah, and like not like give this better like recoil pattern or something. No. If you have this gun that freezes people, you can add a lightning bolt to it too. Like it's just great, like the diversity of the game. And like we're not talking about like you can only do it up to like the second to highest tier. No, the highest tier, the legendary gear, you can do it on all of the gear.
Nice.
Like there's certain like nuances to like things you can't do. Like you, if it has two perks innately built into it, you can't add another one into it. Right. But if it has like it has one, you can add a second one into it. You know, so there's like definitely some nuance. But some of the craziness they were talking about with like the combinations that you could do and all that sort of stuff, like you could basically build your own god rolls for your stuff. So it's definitely going to be a really like pleasing grind for people that want to play it. What the longevity still worries me though. Like, how long does this end game last? Is it a month? Is it nothing? You know, is that it? Because it doesn't seem like they have any sort of content planned after the fact.
Yeah, I'm gonna mention something here. I don't know what game he works on, but someone that I've met personally and interviewed, the interview ended up getting shot because the file got corrupted. He has an incredible story, I think. I might know somebody that's working on one of these games, and his name is Ben Irving. I was actually looking at one of his tweets today, and I noticed that he updated his information to works at Crystal Dynamics. So
you better be sending those DMs with whatever picks he wants,
dude. I got his gamer tag, man. We got DMs going and flowing, so you know,
going and flowing.
Make it happen.
Meet up. Hook up the podcast crew.
just tell Robbie to go see him. He's in Sydney. She's closer than all of us.
No, he's in Austin.
Oh,
so okay. I could literally drive to his house.
Okay, never mind, Robbie. That's don't get your heart.
Let's not do those things, especially at least be socially distant. You know, get a 6-foot pole to knock on his window. You creep.
Yeah.
Right. Wear your Mando mat.
Mule, I'm trying to remember. Was he at PAX? The year that they had the Anthem stuff there?
No, he was at EA Play. That was Jesse.
Yeah, I know Jesse was there. I was just trying to remember who was there.
We met Jesse and Chris Schmidt.
Yeah.
That's right. Who's not on Anthem anymore either. He's back on SWTOR.
SWTOR, yeah.
Well, to touch back on that, basically, if you haven't watched the latest broadcast from Outriders, do that. If you haven't watched the past ones, that's fine. This one's really going to hook you in.
Yeah, and I think the most integral thing of this whole like Outriders thing is that anybody who's interested in those types of games like Borderlands, it's very Mass Effect-y. I've been speaking with somebody from another media site from COG Connected, and he has actually had hands on with the game and said it's basically like if you take Mass Effect and Gears and slap them together and make this like crazy, you know, crazy amalgamation of a game like that. So I'm not the biggest Gears fan, but I think like the aesthetic is very cool and gritty, and like putting this into like a more futuristic setting is just like right up my alley.
Some of the best co-op out there.
Yeah.
Ooh, can't wait, man. 2021 can't come quick enough. So
we get the earplugs now and talk Mando stuff.
All right. We got to say it. If you're listening to the audio cast and you haven't watched season 2, episode 1, pause the podcast. If you're watching live, we're about to get into spoilers. So guys, let me just start off by saying, oh my gosh, man. Oh gosh, dude. Everything about this episode, I probably changed my pants like 5 times. So.
But you didn't wear pants. So.
It was funny because like I started watching it first thing in the morning, and I would like that first opening scene, like when Mando headbutted that guy's punch, I lost it. And I came like running in the living room like this, like to my wife, and she's like, "Don't tell me." I was like, "That is so cool. You gotta see, you know." So, but yeah, just like everything about it. Oh God, I mean, I could go on and on about the Easter eggs and everything that's in it, man. It just, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau know Star Wars. And to me, like, Dave Filoni is the new George Lucas. Like, he's like an encyclopedia of Star Wars. Yeah. And
now, who is the Cyclops guy? Because at first it sounded like Dave.
The voice actor?
Yeah.
God, you know what? My wife asked the same thing, but I can't remember who it was. It's a pretty famous guy.
It sounds like Dave at first. No. Like, there's a couple lines that he says, and I was like, wait, who is this? But then I'm like, no, this isn't. Like, that's the only one that's been bugging me, and I haven't looked it up.
My wife's going to text me. She knows who it is. She's okay. Trying to tell
me. GG, Miss Pillow. GG.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That whole conversation was awesome. The banter back and forth. Oh, that was just so good.
Yeah. So when, I mean, I think one of the other things that just like, because as a kid, I watched New Hope like all the stinking time. And when we saw R5 with the bad motivator and it like repaired. Yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh. Thank you, Nate. Like, Nate said it in chat. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That was good. So
I was like, now, dude, and Anakin's, his
pod isn't racer, also R5 in Clone Wars?
I don't remember him in Clone Wars.
I thought there was an R5 when they have the little like frog looking Jedi that does the secret mission with the droids.
I don't.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't remember. Nate says in chat, that's R7.
Okay, R7. My bad. Wrong R.
But I nerded out for a second there. So what was y'all's take on it? I mean, Rad, I know you said spoilers.
Well, I thought that it was absolutely phenomenal. Okay. Like, yeah, no, you guys are good. Keep going. I'm just listening.
Well, it's like I said previously, this is the first time I've actually watched an episode twice. I watched most of the first season twice, but that was because I showed my kids to it. Mm-hmm. I showed it to my kids and they loved it off the bat. So we went ahead and watched it again, but I watched it, you know, the second time the next day, and I'm like, man, this is so good. They really just ramp things up from season one into a very explosive new episode, man. It was so good. I'm so pleased what they're doing and how they're bringing this new level of Star Wars storytelling that everyone's wanted.
Yeah.
From the lowest new nerd, Star Wars nerd, to the Uber fans, everyone's loving it. There's a few people that are oddballs, are like, you know, weird, that don't like it.
You gotta be careful of those guys.
Yeah, I know, right? I love it. It was really good.
I love that they went back to Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's gonna it has more story connections to it, obviously, that we learned through the episode. but like, we're going through it. I thought was another really cool thing was how they actually reference Return of the Jedi when they talk about the second Death Star blowing up.
Yep.
And the texts also have some stuff on there too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like, just kind of explaining, like, yeah, the Empire just fell. Everything's going to go to shit for a little while.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, there's that power vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
So these smaller towns, it's like little podunk, little mining town, old Western mining town, getting raided by the bandits, going to get taken over by the gangs.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first time that we see Boba's armor.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, is it?
Oh, boy.
Wait, what is it? What?
It really threw me for a loop. I'm like, they're going to show Boba this early?
Right.
And then I was like, that's not Boba. That's completely. They would not pick that build.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
you
can see that, like, if you wouldn't. The second time watching it, you could definitely tell it's like, this is someone wearing Mandalorian armor, but not wearing Mandalorian armor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Wait, perfect.
So was it not Boba?
It was not Boba.
It was a marshal.
Some marshal that found it.
Or got bought it off the tower. I've seen his picture.
Yeah, it was. Now, I don't know.
He played the sheriff like every movie he's ever in.
Yeah, I'm sure Meal picked up.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very I'm good. Sure Meal picked up on it, but did any of you guys else pick up on the patch on his jetpack?
Are you talking about the Mandalorian? Or
no, on Boba's on his jetpack. Jetpack.
I didn't see it on his jetpack.
No. On his jetpack, there's a strip of like where it's been fixed from where Han hit him in the back and knocked him into the Sarlacc pit.
Okay.
That's right. Okay.
Cool. So there's like a strip where the whatever, I don't remember what weapon he hit it, but it made jetpack go off, malfunction. Yeah. And if you look at it, like there's a strip that's like been free welded and everything over it. I was like, oh, that's a cool little nod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At first I saw that, I was like, oh, that's where the lightsaber hit. I'm like, no, Luke didn't hit him.
No, it was Han. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Han that hit him.
Yeah, Luke never hit him. I saw that 1,000 times.
Yep.
But
so
yeah, go ahead.
I've been dying to like dive with you guys, but one of the things that I'm really interested in is because if you look at Boba Fett's chest plate, he has his signet right here, right? Mm-hmm. And that signet, you don't find that in any other place other than Star Wars, what's now called Legends, right? And that signet comes from someone in Legends named Jaster, who is the original Mandalorian. He was Mandalore, basically, on Mandalore. He was the leader, right? And he got betrayed by Death Watch. And so we know that the Mando himself, Din, had been saved by Death Watch. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if they're going to bring some of these legends into play and if there's going to be a little friction. Because Jaster basically saved Jango, and Jango was raised by him and trained in the Mandalorian way and all the fight styles and things like that. This is all legends, of course, so this isn't officially canon. And, you know, when they were betrayed, they were exiled to Concord Dawn. They became the protectors there, which you see in Rebels and things like that.
Yeah.
But his emblem was wiped out from Mandalorian history. So I wonder if he's going to know that he's with Death Watch. And if he is Boba Fett going to have some bad blood, or is it going to be like water under the bridge because we got a group together since, you know, he's not technically a Mandalorian. He was just a very famous bounty hunter. So, man, I don't know, man. I am really curious to see this next episode tomorrow and, like, see what's going. Because they're slowly bringing legends into canon.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that with the Rise of Skywalker with Revan. Like, Revan was one of the Sith mentioned on Exegol. So it's like, dude, if they bring all this history in it, it's going to be freaking insane what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to think of any other.
I have a lot of stuff to play with because if they're starting to bring out legends, I mean, it's a whole new world technically they could bring to Star Wars, which is amazing. I mean, it's just so much more content for them to make, which is so much more money for them to make. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Now, we'll probably find out tomorrow with tomorrow's episode or within the next two episodes. Might not happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I would say they're definitely going to space some of that out. Like, I would say there's probably going to be some sort of expedition at this point.
I'm going off on a different tangent. They kind of give a hint in the first episode to how Boba survived.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Do you think we will get like more detail in the next episode, or is it going to be a little ways down the line?
I think they pretty much basically told us. I mean, go ahead.
My theory is that we know from, I think it is in Star Wars Legends stuff that, that he survived. And the reason he survived was because his armor could withstand the Sarlacc stomach acid.
Yeah.
And then, so now they're kind of putting that into. Okay, so he's starting to be, not digested, but going through digestion. And then the Okay, how do you pronounce it? Is it
Crate?
It's Dragon. Crate Dragon. Okay, because like the first time I'm watching it, I was like, oh, they're just saying Great Dragon, and then I was rewatching it today. I'm like, no, they're definitely not saying Great.
That's why I watch everything with crate. Captions on, man.
So the Crate Dragon ends up. I'm guessing that species on Tatooine kills Sarlaccs, because that's obviously where its den is. The old Sarlacc den is definitely not the pit that the Hutts used.
Well, what's crazy about their attention to detail is, like, in Return of the Jedi, C-3PO talks up, you know, to Han and Luke and all of them, says, hey, you're going to be digested slowly over 1,000 years. So that's part of why he could survive, is because the digestion is so slow. But when you look at the reveal at the end, and I'm trying to be a little vague, Brad's probably picking up on most of it, but
I'm ignoring it.
When you look at it, you can actually see his ear is kind of melted a little bit into his skin and his face here. He has no eyebrows. I didn't notice the ear. The eyebrows are gone. His sides of his head where his scars are look like he's been eaten by acid in some places.
I definitely noticed that he had like two scars across his face, but that was about it.
There's one like right here that looks like acid drip down his face. Anyways, go back and watch it and you'll see it and you'll be like, just pause it there and you're like, whoa, there's like a lot of attention to detail. They basically say in the episode that, hey, Sarlacc pits are never empty, and he's like, well, there's a Crate Dragon, it's gone. But dude, that and ending,
obviously
that was like a Superman moment, right? Like
Lupa. It was like Superman crossed with Thor crossed with an Iron Man,
right?
It was like Iron Man grabbed Mjolnir, jumped down its throat, and just blew it up.
Yeah. That was pretty sneaky and cool. I knew something like that was going to happen, but how they made it happen was awesome.
Yep.
Was not expecting the shock raffle to be his egg. Was not expecting that.
The shock raffle? Oh, spoilers, man. Come on.
I was...
Come on!
Oh, jeez.
Now, did they explain what the pearl thing was at all? Or was that just kind of... Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Is that might have been something that they mentioned? Was that the thing that they KOTOR, mentioned?
It's in KOTOR.
If it's not on your TikTok, I don't know, Mule.
It is on there. It is.
Plugged.
Missed it.
So... that big pearl, basically in Legends, Revan like had a huge stash of those on Tatooine, and also in KOTOR, you have a mission that's exactly like it plays out almost in the film, where you have to fight a Crate Dragon, and the only way you can blow it up is from the underbelly, right? Well, those pearls actually can be used as focusing crystals and lightsabers, and actually make like it can be a replacement for a kyber crystal.
Really?
So what's going to be interesting is there's many different sizes. We obviously see a big one that the, you know, but what's going to be interesting to see is how that's going to play out with maybe the child, maybe Sabine, if she comes in, because we know she's force sensitive. I don't know. I mean, it maybe they're going to have to go back, because those things are super valuable as well. And so that's why the Sand People were like, yeah, this is like money for forever, you know. But yeah, they can be used for focusing on lightsabers. So it's going to be really, really interesting, because that was Legends. Now it's canon.
So if it can be used for lightsabers, then it can be used for other things as well.
Obviously it can. Yeah.
So yes.
Maybe some sort of death.
And something interesting too is that Crate Dragons are naturally drawn to the dark side of the Force, and actually in Legends there are like in Lion King elephant graveyards, basically, where they're all drawn to certain locations and they die, so you can actually find them in those graveyards as well. So
interesting.
So then the pearls are more dark oriented. Does that focus them?
No, more dark. The biology of it is basically they help them with digestion, but I guess I can't remember exactly how they figured out that they could be used in lightsaber for a lightsaber crystal replacement. But maybe more Like, I mean, obviously the crystal can be cleansed because you see that with Ahsoka as well.
Yeah.
Because that's how she got her white lightsabers. But it'll be interesting to watch, man.
Very, so, yeah. Like, it kind of threw me for a loop there when he showed up, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting, like, I knew he would show up after, like, the events of the episode played out. But I was not expecting, like, hey, yep, here he is.
Yep.
And at first, I was like, I was flip-flopping. I was like, is that Boba? Is that Rex? Is that Boba? Is that Rex? And I was like, wait, no. Rex doesn't have any scars. Yeah. Rex has beard, and he doesn't have any, like, any scars on his face. Like, okay, is this one of the other squad mates? And then I had to go look at Rebels stuff. I'm like, nope, no one has scars like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, this is Boba.
So how do you think they're going to follow? This is the final question. We'll wrap this up because we've been going a little longer. But how do you think they're going to follow this, guys? Because that was, I mean, dang. No clue.
I mean, watching the first season, each episode was a complete surprise. So it's going to be the same way for me on this one. Like, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see if there's some sort of convergence because, like you guys were talking about before, that, you know, the Mandalorian wanted the armor because it's part of their religion that, you know, a non-Mandalorian can't have the armor. But at the same time, Boba's not a Mandalorian in a technical sense, you know. So what if there's some sort of convergence where he's like, you know, I need my armor back or this other thing, or it's just really interesting path.
I'm really interested to see that because, I mean, I'm bad with the lore of Boba Fett. But just from, like, what I know of playing him, or him showing up in other games, like, he's kind of the character who would run away from a fight if he knows that he can't win.
Yeah.
He's smart. Yeah.
He's very smart, but he's a little cowardice.
I wouldn't say he's cowardice. I would just say he picks a fight he can win.
Yes, he's definitely not going to go into any, like, if he sees something that he can't win, he's not going to engage at all. Yeah, he's not going to run in there at all. He's not like, obviously, he's not like the other clones. He's not, like, he didn't have any programming. He's just a base clone.
He's
basically, like, what he's supposed to be.
Copy. He's
Django's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes. And they kind of explain that in the Clone Wars, like, he's not a clone.
Yeah. And he doesn't have the age acceleration or anything like that. So that's why he's still, you know. And he's no Mandalorian, so it's going to be interesting because you did see Din when the Marshal took off his helmet. He was kind of like, whoa, hold on. Like, what?
He starts to lift and Mando's like, no.
Yeah. He took his pants off, like...
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, hold on. Hold the phone.
Hold up.
Well, right on, guys. Any closing thoughts? I mean, we talked about so much tonight on the podcast.
No, not like now I'm forcing myself to watch Mandalorian tomorrow as soon as I get home from work, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to watch it when I wake up.
The one thing I was going to say,
we wake up way before you, Neil. I think we're taking our first break when you wake up.
It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead. You're good.
I'll add for those who are wanting more of the Star Wars lore and whatnot, especially the stuff Mule spewing out, his TikTok is a treasure trove of stuff that I had no idea about. And yeah, worth a watch.
All you read. Nerddom there. Lots of nerddom.
Yeah, the only thing I was gonna say, I'm a bad fangirl. I didn't watch Mando yet, but the thing I was gonna say, you know, you're asking what comes next, how's it gonna play out, and I don't really quite know what you're talking about. But one thing that I did like from the first season was the cadence of the show, and they kind of like had it a little bit westerny, you know, it's kind of that feel. And so I think that if they're able to keep that, just based on what I'm hearing, I've watched a lot of TV, like the first episode of a season is always explosive, but I'm actually really hoping that they bring it back to more of that cadence and the way that they told the story in the first season, because that is really, I think, an underlying reason people liked the show so much was just how the story was told. So
what's crazy,
it'll be cool cool to see if that's what they end up doing.
This again. First episode was not like super explosive, yeah. but just really good at telling the story.
Really
well.
Like, it's just paced well, I really mean, well.
At least one of you used the term "it was an explosive episode." So, I think that it was probably more high paced than what the next episodes will be until like the end, right? Because that's how most shows are anyway. Even when they're less,
maybe like there was maybe 5 minutes of action, like true action in this episode.
I'm just saying
it was sandwiched. It was like a sandwich. It was like action, story, action.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think it would be, it sounds like they're already doing it. It would just be really good of them to continue on with whatever they were doing last season, because it became an Emmy nominated show. One of the highest like rated Star Wars stories yet. So if they just keep doing what they're doing, they're going to have a recipe for success.
Killing it.
And, My last bit. I'm glad they brought the Camp Tono back as a little Easter egg again.
Yep, they brought it back again. They did.
Yep.
Camp Tono.
Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, really appreciate y'all joining me tonight, and everyone that's listening to the audio version, we appreciate you guys as well, and everyone that's here in the stream. Thank you guys for hanging in there with us. Well, if you like the podcast, make sure you visit MuleHornGaming.com. On the About page to find more great content creators there. And also you can go check out the store while you're on the website for some mule swag. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Blow it up!
Blow it up!
Bang, 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 bang.
Explosion. Bang.
I should go. Explosions are my religion.
I should go.
Sarlacc dying.
We're gonna need a bigger speeder.